This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Last night, the judges of the Miss America pageant in Atlantic City crowned Nina Davalori as the winner of the pageant.
She's the second consecutive Miss New York to win and the first ever Indian American to win that title.
Wasn't long after her victory that people took to Twitter and elsewhere online to criticize her based on her Indian American heritage. Negative tweets mentioning Al-Qaeda and convenience stores got national attention this morning, started a conversation on race in America.
Well, what do you think? Were you shocked by some of the tweets in reaction to Nina Davalori's win as Miss America? And what does it say about the state of racism in America? Do you think the internet amplifies racism, or is it just a reflection of what people are thinking? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or you can email talk at WPR.org. Our guest is Shilpa DeVay, Assistant Professor of American Studies and Media Studies at the University of Virginia and the author of Indian Accents, Brown Voice and Racial Performance in American Television and Film. Shilpa, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be on the show.
Well, first of all, what is your reaction to some of the negativity and some of the hateful comments that were kind of spewing forth from the internet yesterday?
Well, I think I was a little disappointed because the show and a lot of the coverage and media coverage around the show was so positive and really talking about how this was a historic moment, and it really falls in line with other historic moments that have happened on Miss America show when you've had, for instance, even going back to 1945, when you had Bess Meyerson, who was also Miss New York, as the first Jewish American Miss America, or in 1984, when Vanessa Williams was the first African American Miss America, or even when Heather Whitestone in 1995 was the first deaf Miss America. So this really follows in the line of what Miss America has been representing over the last 50 years. And so I was disappointed, but I guess in the age of Twitter, you wonder, you know, are people sort of giving their first reactions, which are really uncensored and not really thinking about what they're saying, and then suddenly that gets sensationalized.
And, you know, a lot of those people, at least as I read about it, had pulled their Twitter accounts as it sort of hit the national media. So maybe people who made some of the remarks weren't even prepared for how big a reaction, you know, it would get attracting national attention. I mean, how big a deal do you think it is when you see sort of hate speech like this popping up on the internet in reaction to an event like this?
I think that it's really an opportunity, because that kind of speech and the way in which we're working with in American culture, I think people have a real negative reaction to it. And so it really says a lot of positive things about what we accept and what we don't. And the other thing is that the people on online communities really do respond quite quickly. This happened last night, and yet, you know, it's less than 24 hours, and already there's been a backlash saying that these comments were racist and really not acceptable in this kind of context. So in one sense, the people who are making those comments, I think, you know, that this is not a joke that they can just get away with, that in fact, people really do take these issues seriously. And the fact that now media, that there are a lot of savvy people on media who follow this coverage and can respond quickly, I think is startling to people.
And one of the things I think that's shocking to people as they responded as some of these tweets, you know, hit the media, was the response that, you know, hey, I thought we were farther along than this. You know, really, this is the response that some people are having. And I guess this happens over and over. We think that we've made, you know, great social strides in the past years. And then you find out that there's quite a lot of people who are still willing to express feelings like this.
I think it's a default. Sometimes it's the easy kind of way to respond to somebody who's different, is that people fall back on these certain kinds of ways of describing people and describing difference. And especially when it comes to Indian Americans or South Asians, when people view South Asians in a visual mode on television, only one thing comes to mind. And part of that is the limited type of media images that they might be exposed to. And so they end up going to sort of a default and saying, oh, this is what I see. This is the only thing that I see, because that's what they've been told and seen over and over again. And so part of it is also what are people exposed to that could give them an alternative image? And, you know, hopefully with Nina Davalaruni, you hope that that's an alternative image, that even though she came off as very well-spoken, she did a great talent, and, you know, answered her questions very, very well, that some people still cannot see past what she looks like.
Do you think there are still some, you know, pretty prominent misconceptions about South Asians in American culture?
Oh, yes, I think so. Because, you know, it's, again, it's when people are confronted with racial difference. If you don't necessarily know somebody who is South Asian or who is Indian American, where do you get your information? Most of it is from the media. And the media images, especially in Hollywood and in American television, although it's changing, have still come to show these particular kinds of images of Asian Americans in general and then of South Asians. And so some of the comments that came about, including, you know, talking about her as referencing that she works at a 7-Eleven, so the convenience store kind of image, or that, you know, the terrorist kind of image. I think it's one way that people use language to talk about South Asians because they don't know any other language.
What needs to change? I mean, there are some prominent South Asians in our culture, Sanjay Gupta, mm-hmm. Bobby Jindal, and still these things persist. So what do you think needs to change?
I think it's more exposure and also the idea that what does America represent, too? I mean, part of this whole backlash, I think, also has to do with the fact that, you know, who were the contestants for Miss America? And why are people suddenly feeling threatened in a particular way? And I think what we see is people acting out. So what has to change? I think time and also exposure, too. So can we see alternative narratives? Can we see the way in which can we have forums? Can we have opportunities to show different kinds of narratives and different kinds of stories in big venues, especially in television and film? Or are we seeing the same narrative about racial difference and about South Asians and South Asian Americans and Asian Americans over and over again?
You know, you referenced when Vanessa Williams, I think it was crowned Miss America in 1983, the first African-American woman to be crowned Miss America. And do you recall the same kind of uproar, you know, among certain people who are unhappy with that? Or do you think it's something, you know, really that the Internet has helped facilitate that makes it a lot easier if you want to say something hateful?
I think that with Vanessa Williams, it was a complicated situation. But what happened, of course, was that, the pictures that she posed, or the idea that she posed nude before she got the crown, forced her to renounce her crown. So that was sort of an mm-hmm. infamous case, again, of an African-American woman and her sexuality being used against her and taking away this idea of the Miss America crown. When the first Asian American woman, well, the Filipina American woman that was crowned was in 2001, and she was from Hawaii, there was not an uproar. In fact, people were very happy and very proud. So the Internet is this instant information and this instant feedback and this instant want for people to be famous, I think, too, by, you know, immediately commenting on something. I think it does exacerbate certain kinds of situations. And then it feeds on itself. So if someone sees one person post, then they post in response to that, and they think it's okay.
There was a lot of pre-pageant hype in favor of Miss Kansas, a woman named Teresa Vail. She had mm-hmm. blonde hair, blue eyes. Apparently she served in the National Guard. She loves deer hunting. She had tattoos. And I wonder if part of what happened here was, you know, the contrast of this woman, this blonde woman who was very sporty, and then, you know, an Indian American woman, and that people were somehow uncomfortable with that.
Well, I think, what Teresa Vail represented actually is really wonderful, because she was a member, you know, she was Army, she was a hunter, and then she was also, sort of sporting a different image of femininity, which included tattoos, too, as well. And so I don't think it, I mean, if it's just about a racial difference, then I think that that's problematic. But she wasn't in, she was in the top, she was in the top 12, I do believe, but she wasn't the top two. The top two was actually Miss California and Miss New York. So I'm wondering the other issue, is it regionalism? Is it the fact that it's someone from New York or someone from California who keeps on winning? Though I guess there was a winner from Kansas just a few years ago. So what, again, does the definition of America mean? And I think that's a lot of what the comments are, is like, is so-and-so American? And no one would ever argue that if someone was Irish-American, they wouldn't say, oh, they're not American. And, you know, being Indian-American, obviously, Nina was born here. She grew up here. She's a University of Michigan grad. I saw that one of the negative comments actually came from someone from Ohio State, so there might be a little regionalism going on there, too, as well. But I think it's a little bit more complicated than that, especially when we look at these intersections of race and gender, because it's also about what a certain kind of femininity would look like, too. And so I don't think everyone was necessarily pushing for Miss Kansas. I think there were other issues that were coming in on this, too, as well.
Well, we're talking right now with Shilpa Devay, Assistant Professor of American Studies at the University of Virginia and the author of Indian Accents, Brown Voice and Racial Performance in American Television and Film.
Talking about Nina Davuluri, the new Miss America, and more importantly, the reaction to an Indian American or a person of Indian American heritage getting this award. Want to know what you think at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Do you think racism is alive and well in the United States, that we don't see it out in public, but maybe it comes up on the internet where the inhibitions aren't there? Do you think the internet amplifies racist sentiment, or is just showing what's already there? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234, or email talk@WPR.org.
You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time. For the first time ever, an Indian American woman was crowned Miss America this weekend. But after she won, we saw some racist tweets erupting, and that all captured the attention of media watchers around the country.
We're talking about that now with Shilpa Devay, Assistant Professor of American Studies and Media Studies at the University of Virginia and the author of Indian Accents, Brown Voice and Racial Performance in American Television and Film. And we're wondering what you think about all this. Were you shocked by some of the tweets in reaction to Nina Davuluri being crowned Miss America? And do you think racism is still prevalent in America? Or is it just, you know, a few outliers who crop up now and then on the internet? What do you think we can do about this? 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll go first now to Jeff, who's joining us in La Crosse. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how you doing? My biggest problem with this whole thing is there's no, everyone in the world can laugh at jokes. They think of the typical, stereotypical culture thing where the Irish, they got their own little quirks. The African-American, they got their quirks. The Puerto Ricans, they got their quirks. And it's a joke that everyone in the world can laugh at. If you notice on the tweets, it's always those idiots who come up with the who start cussing and turn it sexual or start turning this, and, you know, leave the internet alone. If the responsible press, the print media, the radio media, would just leave that alone, it wouldn't be an issue. This isn't a racism thing. This is America having fun with whatever, and let them have fun on the internet and whatever. Everyone's got to blow it up into, my God, it's a big racial thing, and there's racists everywhere, and they're going to do it. No, what if it was a joke about poodle lovers?
But what
is
about,
every,
I mean, have
lover
you,
in the world going to come and
Jeff,
say, oh, my God, it's a joke.
Jeff,
yes,
have you seen some of the tweets? I mean, some of them, you know, tie her to Al-Qaeda and tie her to, you know, the anniversary of 9/11. Does that still qualify as fun?
Look at a tweet about anything in the world. There's morons out there who will come out and tweet and say that, well, it's probably based on a terrorist, or they got a bomb there.
Right. Okay. So Jeff's saying that we should just ignore these guys or girls, whoever they are, ladies, and let it be, and that the media is maybe just drawing too much attention to it. What do you think, Shilpa?
Well, I think it's important to look at. I mean, when you think about what it means to be American and even the way in which you characterized a joke, I think humor is often a way of deflecting discomfort. And I talk a little bit about this, is that when something is humorous to one group, it doesn't necessarily mean it's humorous to another. A lot of issues related to the idea of even satire or of humor is it's at the expense of somebody else. And sometimes when you're telling a joke about one particular group, such as, you know, oh, maybe she's like a convenience store owner or a terrorist, that's not exactly a laughing matter. I mean, people have been, you know, harassed and terrorized because they've been accused of being looking like someone that is not seen as what is American. And I think one of the things that she said and one of the things that we have to think about is, what does Miss America look like? And the fact that it's, she talked about the fact that it's an evolving way of thinking about what we see of what we see as American. And so being American, yes, is making jokes, but being American is also knowing that there are a lot of different people who can represent what America means. It's not just one particular person or one particular racial group. And so I think she really goes to that idea. And I think the other issue is that for so long, women of color were not able to participate in Miss America. In fact, there are many ethnic beauty pageants and racial beauty pageants around the U.S. because a lot of women would try to compete in Miss America and some of the follow-ups, and they would never get chosen. And so the idea was that being pretty meant being white. And so this is bringing in sort of the gendered addition of it. So when we think about how race and gender intersect in Miss America, it's not just a racial thing. It's also gendered in terms of how we are looking at who gets to represent America and who gets to represent Miss America, too, as well.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Jeff. And we move to Jonathan in Milwaukee. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. I'd like to say that I don't see anything wrong in any way, shape, or form with this woman winning. I mean, if the criteria is set up for a specific type of person and she met that criteria, who cares what color she is? Who cares how long ago her parents came to this country? Who cares about any of that? It's, she won fair and square, and then that's it. And some of the comments that were being made are just from ignorant people that because of the anonymity of the web, are able to say anything they want and not suffer any repercussions. They're not the kind of people who would have the guts to walk up to this woman and say this. You know, they're going to do it anonymously because it's a cheap shot and they can get by with it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call, Jonathan. What do you think, Shilpa?
Yeah, I think I would agree that it does allow, in terms of these instant reactions from Twitter, it does allow people to respond without any kind of consequences. I mean, we don't know who the people who were responding. They could have been friends of some of the contestants. They could have been from different areas of the country. It could have been, you know, younger people who have access to an account. So we have no idea on the demographics of who exactly is responding. And that doesn't mean that, you know, people shouldn't feel free to respond, but I think that's one of the issues that television and media is trying to figure out, is how do we engage with audiences in a way that we can show that we're still popular and yet also be able to have, you know, civil conversations and comments, too, on what people are thinking. And this is all over media. And I think in particular for the Miss America pageant, because it's been having low ratings year after year. I mean, if you think about it, Miss America was the first one of the first reality shows ever. But now that we have so many different kinds of reality shows, and even I think a former Miss America was on The Amazing Race. And I think the new Miss America, her talent was actually choreographed by someone on You Think You Can Dance. Hmm. So, you know, reality television has really evolved in terms of trying to get people on television and get their 15 minutes of fame. And then you add on top of that the instant Twitter accounts. Is there is there too much going on? Is there too much insistence on getting people involved to the extent that we don't really have any interesting conversations? It just becomes noise.
All right. Well, let's see if we can squeeze one more call in. And Bhaskar from Eau Claire, you're next. Hello, are you there, Bhaskar? No, we don't have him. A quick call then from Jake in Madison. Hi, Jake, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Great topic. Jeff, you're totally wrong. I was offended. I work in the trades, right, and I'm in the construction industry, and I work around a lot of guys, and without using a derogatory term, but they use really, really bad terms towards Arab women and Arabs in general. And I dated an Arab woman for almost 7 years. And I celebrated Ramadan, and I told them that, and they look at me like I'm completely crazy.
So from your experience, it sounds like you're seeing racism. You're seeing this in the people you work with.
And, you know, I'm not offended. I just look at them and say, you have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that call, Jake. And, Shilpa, we've got about 30 seconds for your response there.
Well, I think that's when you're bringing in the gendered, are these comments coming from men directed at women also becomes another kind of issue, too. But in the history of American foreign policy towards other countries, when America has gone to war against certain countries, whether it be Japan or Korea or Vietnam, the women have borne the brunt of that kind of racist kind of behavior and racist kind of language. And so I would hope that, you know, after we've gone through Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan, that we're seeing, I mean, this might be the backlash that's going on, and it's something that we definitely have to work against and to speak out against.
All right. Well, Shilpa, thank you so much for joining us today and talking about it.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
We've been talking to Shilpa DeVay, Assistant Professor of American Studies and Media Studies at the University of Virginia.
Coming up next, our guest is sounding the alarm about sugar. He says it's all over the menu. It's hard to spot on those ingredients labels, and he wants to help us watch out for it on the next trip to the grocery store. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.